Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and helping produce the show on the other side of the glass. And we welcome you to the program on this Friday, September 11th, 2015. Of course, the 14th anniversary of the attacks on America, in which 2,977 people were killed, including victims really from more than 90 countries. I looked that up this morning, and I was really startled that there were people, Sarah Garrett Gasson, from all over the world there.
Well, it was the World Trade Center.
Yes.
And I think it encompassed its name, and we remember all those people and the people who have done so much since then.
Certainly, and we call this Patriots Day, and hopefully we will never forget what happened on September 11th. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we also have all of our podcasts and pretty much all the shows we've done over the last 4.5 years at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to all of our media friends. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fred Gray is with us. Fred is City of Tucson Parks and Recreation Director, and joining me in studio to question Director Gray is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. The Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. If you'd like to call Mr. Gray with any questions or comments about our parks, he would be happy to entertain those. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and as of today, I've reactivated my Twitter account. Started a Twitter account when we started the program back in 2011, and I figured, well, we might as well do some additional promoting of the guests and everything on Twitter. So that's at Buckmaster Show if you're into Twitter. So an additional social media venue for you.
You are just a mogul.
There you go. Mr. Gray, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You have a very ambitious kind of five-year plan that you are being laying out. You've been laying it out already with focus groups, and you're going to have some open houses. There are six of them starting next Wednesday at the Randolph Golf Complex on Alvernon Way. What's this five-year plan all about, Mr. Gray?
Well, it's an update to our existing master plan. Our master plan that's currently in effect, our strategic plan, was adopted in 2006. It was a 10-year plan, and so we're approaching the end of that. And this five-year plan that's coming up, we've realized a 10-year plan is probably a little too far to look out into the future, and so we've narrowed the scope down to a five-year plan. And this one is to get the community input from all of our users, from even our non-users, to tell us what they like about our park system, to tell us what they'd like to see for the future. And it's not just designed to talk about future development and acquisitions and new facilities, but also about what our current operations are, what programs and activities and services do we provide that people want to see more of or less of. We'd like to refocus some of our energies. We have a certain amount of resources to spend every year. Are we spending them in the right place, and would you like to see us do something else? So we are hopeful for a lot of participation from the community. We want it to be a completely community-driven process because that's who we work to serve.
Well, if I haven't been in the focus groups, but if I were, thank you, Sarah. I would say I would like a park to have a safe environment. I will put that in there. A pleasant the enhancements to be just a kind of a yes, you're in the middle of a city, but for want of another word, kind of an outdoor exercising experience. So I put my 2 cents in.
Okay, well, thank you. And you hit something safe, and safety is our number one priority, obviously, in everything that we do, safety and functionality. And I get, you know, we have, you mentioned outdoor spaces, and we have a lot of that. We have a little over 4,000 acres of parkland, but we also have indoor facilities. So when it's raining or it's too hot, we'd welcome you to come into our indoor facilities to do the same thing.
And trivia question, if you were to ask someone, how many parks do we have in the city of Tucson? I doubt if people would come up with a number, 128 parks.
That's correct.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson, who uses and utilizes some of the parks.
I do indeed, and I will be doing that tomorrow when I attend my friend's son's birthday. He's turning 4. Happy birthday, Essa. I wanted to know about the Reed Park and the zoo. And we were talking a little bit before about Nandi, the adorably cute elephant.
Yes.
How much of does a park need like an attraction like Nandi, who or another baby like the lions, or you know, maybe not as specifically just the zoo, but other kind of signature things that bring people to a park?
Well, I think you know, our park system, we talked about the acreage, about 4,000 acres, and they range in size from less than an acre up to close to 200 acres, and if you include our golf courses at Reed Park, over 400 acres. So a lot of people are looking for different things. Some are looking for, you know, they just need a walking path or an outdoor venue to do something. Others are looking for indoor facilities. Reed Park, in specifically, I would think, is you know, we sort of classify, we call it Reed Park, but everybody has a central park of some sort that they refer to as their main park. And I think people would think of Reed Park as being the city's central park, so to speak. It has, you know, a multitude of things. The zoo, obviously, is a big attraction. The attendance is driven to some extent by what's new. You mentioned lion cubs and you mentioned Nandi. Nandi, the baby elephant, has driven attendance pretty significantly. We're getting not only locally, and that's another thing about the zoo having being an attraction, regardless of where it's located. It's sort of a tourist attraction as well. We've had visitors from all over. Some, luckily, happening upon Nandi, not knowing that she's here, but others from other zoos and other people knowing that she's here, wanting to come and see our elephant enclosure and that. So that's been very helpful there from a tourism perspective, as well as our local visitation. The park has a multitude of amenities with the stadium that U of A is now playing in, and some, you know, some people, the Rose Garden and the lake is what people come to do. So we have the range from very passive activities to all the way up to the active components of things.
I was just going to say with Nandi, there were, you were saying before we went on the air, how many hits on the YouTube video?
The YouTube on her birthday, which was Tucson's birthday, was over a million hits in that one day.
My.
And I don't know what the total is now, but it had reached 2 million after a few days.
So. Well, there's a new star. A baby has been born. there's always a new star.
Right.
But Nandi, I don't want to take anything away from you, but a very cute baby has, I saw the video on Facebook. It's a tapir, which is like an anteater or similar to an anteater, is that it?
Lesser anteater,
yeah,
yes.
Lesser anteater. Well, anyway, the baby is playing in like a little baby pool. That's the latest Facebook
yes.
video.
Yes.
It's very cute.
Super cute. Are there trends in parks? You know, like everyone needs a special kind of slide or something like that.
Well, and one of the things in our master plan is we're going to look at trends. The consultant team we have put together will be addressing trends that come across from other parts of the country. But I think one of the big trends here now, and I don't think it's new, but it's a little more prevalent, is the focus on sort of health and fitness activities. With about every new park development, if we're able to build something, one of the components is a walking or jogging track or some sort. The David Bell bike path that surrounds Reed Park and the Oro Chico Greenway, heavily used at all hours of the day and night. So that's what we're noticing now is there's a, and that's sort of getting out of doors as well in sort of a safe environment. But there's a lot of focus on health and fitness, and we get all, some of our leisure classes show that that's a pretty popular activity for people to be engaged in. Multi-generational programming now is sort of I think something on the horizon that, you know, the there's a lot of single family parents, single parent families, grandparents are sometimes involved in raising children, maybe not raising, but certainly watching and taking care of. And so providing opportunities for not just to have drop the kids off and you go here and other places, but have multi-generational programming for the whole family to participate in.
Charles has been waiting on the live line. Charles, how are you today?
Better for talking to you.
Thank you very much.
I want to compliment the entire park staff of the people that work at Reed Park. I volunteer with the at the Demeester Auditorium there with the Tucson Pops Orchestra, and Mark Felix and the entire crew have such a phenomenally good attitude of service and helpfulness. They're an absolute asset to the Tucson Parks. I want to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
How about making multi-use? We have an issue with firearm safety all over the country. And, you know, it's like with drowning. You don't stop children from drowning by keeping them away from pools. You stop children from drowning by teaching them how to swim. How's about, we can't put a firearm range everywhere. It's too expensive. But what about if you had a portable air gun range set up that you could use at places like High Corbett Field, where you're not working with firearms, so you don't have the liability, but all the principles are the same. You hire an outside contractor to do the instruction. And now you have city classes on teaching people firearm safety and marksmanship. And I'll bet you the rate of accidents would go down a lot, and so would people's respect for the tools of force.
Okay.
And it wouldn't. You could probably even get sponsorship to do it.
Okay, we'll hear what Mr. Gray says about that. Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
Well, first of all, thanks for recognizing Mark Felix and his staff over at the Demeester Performance Center. They do a remarkable job, and I appreciate your bringing that to everybody's attention, because that sometimes gets overlooked. And with regard to any kind of class or training or whatever with regard to firearms, certainly we could consider any of that, and we do have we do have arrangements that we hire instructors to provide those types of services for any range of leisure opportunities and classes, and we do have some contracted operations as well. We know that I know Pima County has some shooting ranges and some other things where that's possible. It could happen there as well. So, but we take that into consideration, and I would invite you to. I'll make a note of that for our master plan planning process. And if you're interested in attending some of the meetings, we'd welcome you to come to those and share those thoughts as well.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest, Charles, attend some of those meetings. There are six of them coming up. The first one Wednesday, September 16th at the Randolph Golf Complex. We'll talk about golf when we come back with Fred Gray and Sarah Garrett Gasson. But right now it's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. And as the Buckmaster Show listeners know, our bumper music, our intermission music, someone was saying, what is bumper music? I was asked that. Well, it's like our intermission music. Today we're focusing on Crosby, Stills, and Nash from the first album.
I am sorry. Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud. I am lonely. I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Would you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express?
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Yes, our bumper music, intermission music, is usual. Well, it always is on Friday. It's our 60s kind of look back, and I don't think. Try to mix it up. I don't think we have done Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That was from the first album. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah shares an interest with me in 60s music, even though she is a lot younger and probably, well, didn't experience it at the time, but she really appreciates it.
I sure do. It's one of...
was the choice then? Do you like the Crosby, Stills?
Oh, I fully support it. I fully support it.
Good, good. Fred Gray is with us, and Fred is the Parks and Recreation Director in the city of Tucson. And we're going to go back to the live line. Our friend Jim. Jim Kelly is with us. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hi, Bill. Listen, I wanted to ask Fred Gray if Tucson Parks and Rec was thinking of any kind of a partnership with the Tucson Jazz Festival, instead of everything having to go to five or six different venues over a 3 or 4 week period, we could have one big jazz festival at Reed Park. Have you guys thought about that? Have you worked out logistics? Are you even in conversation?
Thanks for the question. We have been in conversation with the at least one jazz festival that's been occurring, and I think we certainly would have the opportunity to engage in further dialogue with that. I know that our our performance venues from the outdoor perspective, obviously, would be the Reed Park Demeester Center. We have some smaller performance areas at other park locations, obviously, potentially of the stadium, High Corbett Stadium, although the University of Arizona has pretty much exclusive use of that, but Mike could figure out something. So, yeah, we'd love to entertain dialogue with anybody about any type of festival, including jazz or anything else. We do a lot of music events at our venues, certainly at the Demeester, and we'd love to communicate with anybody that wants to talk to us.
Good question.
I just wanted to say one thing. When the Monterey Jazz Festival started in 1967, nobody knew what they were doing either. And look at how far that's come.
That's a good point.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
So much.
Thanks.
Always good to hear from Jim. February 2014 was when the city turned over management of the struggling five courses that the city owns to Scottsdale-based OB Sports Golf Management. How has that gone? We're coming up here on a couple of years that they've been into this. How is that management firm doing?
I think they're doing very well. They started in, like you indicated, February of 14, and so it was sort of in the middle of a fiscal year and a lot of transition to get that going. Just completed their first full year of operation. I'm not as close to the golf operation as I once was, obviously, with the management agreement and in place, and it's being managed out of the city manager's office. But, you know, all of the golf facilities are in parks adjacent to and that. And so we've heard good comments about that. One of the things that they came in and did almost immediately was to lease new golf carts, make some additional improvements around the clubhouses, and sort of enhance some of the maintenance opportunities with the resources they had. And so they've done a good job with that. From what I hear with their statistics that they've provided, is their the number of rounds are sort of on the rise as far as increases are concerned. Maybe the revenues associated with that per round are not quite where we want to be yet, but the golf sort of a competitive market, and it's sort of the pricing for the golf is obviously market driven. So the times of the year when the golf courses do best are the tourism seasons, obviously, in the winter months when more tourism is here, and then it's not quite as hot to play. So I think this will be entering their second full year of operations, and so we hope to see things progress as we move forward.
So if they could break even, it would be a huge improvement, because the five courses lost about $688,000 when OB took over, so there's a lot of room for improvement there.
Right.
Yeah. Sarah?
I wanted to ask about accessibility in parks for people with disabilities and all different ages, and How do Tucson parks fare? I know some parks will have like specialized equipment or things like that, but to make it just accessible to everyone and not have to go to a special place, is that something that is just kind of woven into the tapestry of parks?
Yeah, certainly is right now, especially with any new development or redevelopment or redesign of any of our park facilities from the federal law, ADA compliance as a necessity that we have to follow. So certainly with everything that new we build the accessibility into that. Some of the older facilities, built a while back, are maybe not as accessible. And I think we had a Department of Justice audit several years ago, and we actually have done an audit of every facility and have a laundry list of things that need to occur to meet full accessibility for all of our facilities. And again, those are being addressed from the older facilities as funding is available. And certainly every time we do reinvigoration of an existing park, or certainly construction of a new park or playground, the accessibility is taken into consideration.
The sidewalk ordinance is being re-looked at again by the council. This is a very, very controversial subject, obviously, about what to do with kind of the growing homeless encampments. How does that fit into the park situation, into your portfolio?
Well, it not only is a sidewalk or street consideration. This also affects parks and other public properties and actually sort of impacts the entire community. What the mayor and council are addressing with regard to the ordinances, there's our parks ordinance is, you know, pretty specific and clear with regard to any activity, what can occur, not occur during certain hours of operation and things like that. So that's, and then the sidewalk ordinances are pretty clear about what can happen there. The other ordinances are clear what can happen there. There's maybe some inconsistency amongst those ordinances. I won't say they contradict each other, but, you know, from hours of operation versus what you could do on a sidewalk versus a park. Obviously, in a lot of cases, certainly in the downtown area, you have a sidewalk adjacent to a park, and so they have to interact together to work. And so what's the mayor and council discussed the other day was trying to bring consistency to all the ordinances so that there's clarity with regard to what can happen on one side of from a sidewalk to a park, from a park to a sidewalk.
Yeah, because you have operating hours. They're posted at your parks, and so it's very clear that the park is closed after a certain hour, and no camping or overnight facilities are there. But with a sidewalk, you can't post a sign saying the sidewalk is open from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Right, and all the while trying to deal with that, realizing that, you know, the city and other agencies, the county and others, are still want to provide home services and trying to provide those opportunities while still balancing the ordinances and what's allowed and what's not allowed. So it's a pretty significant community-wide issue, not just in Tucson, by the way, but all over the country. That everybody's dealing with.
All right. Before we wrap this up, we have the 5-year open houses we've been talking about. The first one Wednesday, September 16th, Randolph Golf Complex. Then there's one the following evening, and then there's some more that go really right through Wednesday, October 7th. So I would suggest that listeners who would like to find out more go to your website. Would that be the appropriate place?
That's correct. There's a specific web. Of course, you could get there from our Parks and Recreation website. There's also a specific website with regard to the master plan as well.
All right. So everyone can put their 2 cents in, as I did earlier, if I had been a member of the focus group. So, Fred Gray, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Fred Gray with the Parks and Recreation Department. He oversees 128 parks in the city of Tucson, coming to a total of about 4,000 acres. So, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star and Linda Valdez will join us from the Republic. We'll have our Friday roundtable right after this.
In the morning, when you rise, do you think of me and how you left me cry? Are you thinking of telephones and managers and where you got to be at noon? You are living a reality I left years ago with quite nearly killed.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bob Westerman and Vince Robago, plus our monthly visit with General John Wickham. General Wickham is the former United States Army Chief of Staff. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world, live streaming, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Buckmaster Show, our 60s bumper music today featuring Crosby, Stills, and Nash from the first album. So that's the way we go into the 60s on Friday, into the music vault. And we came up with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Try to do a different group every Friday. Joining us now on the Friday Roundtable, joining Sarah Garrett Gasson. From Sarah sticking around from our interview with Mr. Gray talking about parks, Linda Valdez is here, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic and longtime Tucson resident. Linda does not live in Phoenix. She lives in Tucson but writes for a Phoenix-based paper. And it's good that a Phoenix-based paper has a Tucson voice.
Absolutely.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
And I learned on Facebook that you're also an artist. You have several pieces that will be at the Rhesus Teller?
Rhesus Tayar.
Rhesus Tayar Gallery. And there's an opening on Saturday night.
6 to 9. Uh-huh. It's a potluck. They always have a community potluck, and it's a lot of fun art. It's 218 East 6th Street, 6th mm-hmm. and 6th, basically. So y'all come. It's always a great show.
And your particular particular medium in art?
I work in photo manipulation.
Hmm. And how do you do that?
You take different images. Uh-huh. I use all my own original images, and you just put them together in a variety of different ways. Mm. And this show is surrealism. It celebrates surrealism. So there's going to be some really interesting mind-bending things going on.
Well, we're into the 60s today, so we'll be having our...
<It's> apropos.
All right. This story that's really been troubling everybody, it's this Phoenix shooting thing going on, and many of us travel between Phoenix and Tucson regularly, and I've had more people, Linda, say they're really freaked out by this. I mean, it's scary.
It's very scary. It's very scary. Now, the ones they have 11 that they say are confirmed shootings, most of them are, well, they're all in the central corridor around east and west of downtown Phoenix. And they now, I understand, have a person of interest. They detained two people early this morning, like 10 o'clock this morning, I believe it was, and then they released one of them, and they have one person of interest. And they're being very tight-lipped about it. But it's terrifying. It really is.
Well, you know, Sarah, it's like one more thing that we have to worry about.
Right, right. And especially on a day like today, I think it's yet one more reason to think about, you know, how much people mean to each other and how fragile life really is.
Yep. And, of course, the 14th anniversary of 9/11, and it's one of those things that my particular generation, the baby boom generation, we think about the Kennedy assassination. I think everybody my age can remember exactly where they were at the time on November the 22nd, 1963. And the same, if you were old enough to look at an image on TV or in a newspaper, you're going to remember 9/11.
Absolutely.
Those images are seared into people's minds. I think many of them wish they could take them out of their minds, but those images will always be with us. They will define this generation.
Linda, I wanted to talk a little bit with you about the legislature continuing its appeals of that court decision that would require the lawmakers pay $331 million a year in unpaid obligations to our schools. We have a budget surplus. Why do the lawmakers continue on this course with the litigation, which is a costly course? Why not just deal with this, settle this thing?
Well, it's mostly ideological. They dispute that they owe that much money, and they keep they're going to keep fighting this. They feel that they're in the right. The sad fact of the matter is that they are shirking their duty under the state constitution, which requires them to raise taxes to, in at least two places. The state constitution requires the legislature to raise taxes to pay the bills of the state, and it specifically mentions schools. They've decided that they're not going to do that. Taxes are off the table, so they've come up, they're going to keep fighting this case, despite having money to settle it.
And there's been calls, Sarah, for a special session to deal with this, but that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And I know that there are also, Governor Doug Ducey has a proposal on the table that he's promoting, as do some of the Republican leadership in the legislature. Both involve using proceeds from the state land trust, which is supposed to go to education. But in the Governor Ducey's proposal specifically, the state treasurer, who's in office now, has warned, saying that it actually is harmful to the state in the long run, because while it may fill the pothole now, or the gaping cavern of education funding, in the long term, it's going to end up hurting Arizona students even more. So I think Linda's absolutely right that this is an ideological a disagreement, and I think she's also absolutely right that they're shirking their responsibility, because when it comes down to it, it's about kids and education and the future of the state, and that should take precedence.
Yeah, and that even getting into the state trust land, Linda, that couldn't happen before voters would have a say on this in November of 2016. So really, that is not going to be a short-term fix at all.
Well, it's not going to be a short... Well, it is, it is, and it isn't. It'll take a while, but then it's a 10-year plan. So the children who enter kindergarten when that goes into effect, if it does, won't even have graduated by the time the funding drops off. The proposal that the state legislators, the Republican legislators, are putting forward also is a 10-year plan, and it taps the state land trust. It also taps First Things First, which was established by voters with tobacco tax to help preschool, to help kids get ready to go to school. So they're just trying to find any way they can besides raising taxes to pay the obligations. The other problem, the other cliff we're heading for, is that the 301 money, the money that was approved, the 0.6 cent tax that was approved in 2000, that goes away in 2020, which means we have two more elections. We could go back to the voters to renew that. That's what they should be working on. There's another huge cliff when when schools are going to lose huge amounts of money.
So we're putting off Well, what is the saying? You know, you put something off and eventually you're going to have to pay for it. But
right.
we probably have reached the point where there's not going to be even a compromise on this. They're going to let, apparently, the courts play this out. Is that kind of your feeling on this school funding issue, Linda?
I think that they will probably get together next session and pull a compromise between what the governor wants and what the legislators want and say that they've solved the problem. But I also think it will continue to play out in the courts. I don't know what the resolution is. The governor was, there was some talk about an initiative a while back, and the governor was very adamant about that. And he's got the dark money forces behind him to squash anything like that. I don't know where we go from here, honestly.
Sarah, the city's continuing to struggle over the month-long SunTrans strike. The three GOP challengers to the three council incumbents think that the strike will help them at the polls. What do you think? It's going to help or get them some traction?
I don't know. I think that the line between city council and SunTran and the union, the drivers, it's such a squirrely, complicated arrangement. It's not like the city council can just swoop in and fix it and pony up more money and everything will be fine. So I think that if the challengers can make an issue of it, absolutely. But then I also don't know if the people that are so greatly affected by it are the ones who are going to be voting in the, you know, for in the Republican ticket anyway. So it's certainly something to point to and say this is a big problem that hasn't been fixed. But more than that, I think it's just so important to get everyone back to the table and get this resolved.
Affects so many people that do depend on the bus.
It does. And in the long run, it's probably going to result in a decline in bus ridership because people will feel it's not a reliable way to get around. I think the drivers and the union, I think they're shooting themselves in the foot. The drivers have pretty good pay and darn good benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of sympathy for this strike. I think in the long run, they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to hurt the transit system. The city's going to have to find a more efficient way to do this where they can actually have some control over what's going on.
Yeah, because the longer this strike goes on, new routes are added. They're trying to supplement what they have. And so in the long run, as you say, the drivers could be really on the short end of the stick on this thing.
I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen. I think the union is overreaching, and I don't think it's going to turn out well. And I say that as someone who strongly supports unions, mm-hmm. but I think this was not a wise choice on their part.
Hey, that study for Tucson Phoenix Rail is finally going to get on track, and many would say it's long overdue that we do need a rail system between Tucson and Phoenix.
Well, that certainly would make travel a lot a lot easier and a lot less stressful, because driving I-10 is just not fun. It's not relaxing, and it's also not like just sort of the zen emptiness that it used to be, or mm-hmm. it's, you know, populated all the way through. But we've been talking and hearing talk about a rail line of some sort between Tucson and Phoenix forever. So hopefully it'll happen in some form, but I'm not going to just, you know, save my money for my ticket just
yet. It's going to be a long time. We can't even get the road fixed between I-10. Between Phoenix and Tucson.
Well, there's no funding for this train that they want to run. It's like $5 billion. I think it's a good idea. It should have happened a decade or two ago, and they should be talking about running it from the border all the way up to mm-hmm. Phoenix and beyond. That's what we would do if we really cared about our infrastructure and planning for economic development and growth. But Arizona doesn't do things that way.
Mm-mm. No, we don't. We kind of wait till the problem has become humongous.
And then throw up our hands and say, there's nothing we can do. It's just too big.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. We have a legislative session, Linda Valdez, that will be starting here before you know it. It's already September. How does the budget? We talked about a surplus, $325 million. There are still some big questions about the state's financial picture, aren't there?
Well, it's a slow. It's been a slow recovery for the state, but I think the budget is doing. I mean, the money is coming in. There is a surplus now. I believe that lawmakers, the lawmakers in control, the Republic, which is the Republican Party, they are going to be reluctant to spend that because they feel that the fiscally conservative thing to do is to keep costs low. That's also part of their philosophical bent towards not expanding government. So I wouldn't expect to see them rush to replace the funding that was cut during the recession. I think they will try to put a little more into education for show, but I don't think it will be significant.
You know, you see Donald Trump doing so well, and actually, Sarah, his polling numbers continue to go up. It seems like the crazier some of the things he says, the more traction he gains. Mm-hmm. It went from 20 to 25% to now it's about one-third of voters saying that they would vote for Donald Trump. You wonder, is this going to be a year where it's kind of throw out all of the folks that, and I'm thinking about the Kelly Ward race with John McCain, which could be very interesting in that primary. Linda.
Well, it could be very interesting if this holds the outsider, the love of outsider, and it's happening in the Democratic presidential race too, because
yes.
Bernie Sanders is gaining traction on Hillary Clinton, and it seems to be a kind of an atmosphere of we don't want the politicians anymore. We want something different. It's still very early, though. And I think you have to keep in mind that Donald Trump is one of 17, and it's easy to lead a pack of 17. I mean, when they start dropping out, I think his numbers will start to fall.
All right, let's go to, I believe it's Lydia. She has a question. Hi, Lydia. How are you? Hi, Lydia.
Well,
hello, you're on the air.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I recently heard that Tucson is a sanctuary city. Is this true?
Is Tucson a sanctuary city?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know that people have been, you know, we're an immigrant city, that's for sure. Just our population, we have people from all over. But you're talking about the official designation, like San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco.
I don't know that off the top of my head.
Lydia, I'm sorry, I don't think we can give you a definitive answer on that.
Well, I heard you talking economics, and I just wanted to say I've been displaced by illegal immigration. And I know it's a national problem, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a nice day.
You too. Thank you very much. I don't know if we have the official immigrant friendly city or whatever it's called.
Right. I don't know.
Well, I think what being a sanctuary city means is that you're not going to turn people over to the federal officials to be deported when they have committed a crime. I believe that's what it means. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Tucson is in that.
All right. Coming up now on 1251, Linda, we'll look for your work at Saturday night.
Raíces Tallar Gallery.
And it's located?
It's located at 218 East 6th
okay,
Street.
Street.
Street. All right. Linda will be showing her work along with other artists, so that should be fun. And Sarah will look for your work in the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have any editorial coming up that you want to mention this Sunday or no?
We are kind of giving the background to the bond situation, Pima County bonds, and reminding people about the audit that the state did a couple years ago.
All right. We'll look for that. Thank you both very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
Licking others nearby, awaiting a word, gasping at glimpses of gentle true spirit. He runs, wishing he could fly.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event.
For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Today's the big day. Pickamania, the 7th annual festival of free Americana music, begins today and runs through Sunday. Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Wonderful places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest lodges. You can find out the full listing of places to stay and the many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, joining us right now. And if it's a weekend in autumn, and this is kind of early autumn, there must be another festival going on. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bill. You know, we're really getting things heated up this weekend. Starting today at Trail Dust Town on Tancredi Road, when the 12th annual Chili Festival kicks off. Now, this is a celebration of all things chili pepper and chili-themed food, complete with freshly roasted green chilies, chili spices, tamales, other chili specialties. Now, if you can't make it today, the party moves to the Oro Valley Farmers Market at Steam Pump Ranch on Saturday and wraps up on Sunday at the Grand Chili Fiesta at Rialto Park. It's the chili pepper in all of its grandeur all weekend long.
I think of chilies in the autumn, and I also think of wine tasting anytime.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know how much I love Arizona wine, Bill. And there's an event tomorrow at Maynard's Market and Kitchen downtown, which is a must-attend for all of my fellow local wine enthusiasts. It's called Grapes to Glass, and it's going to showcase 10 local wineries, a range of local artists, and an artisanal bread bar with local breads and cheeses. And tickets are only $35, which includes a commemorative wine glass, and a portion of the proceeds will support the nonprofit Local First Arizona. It's Grapes to Glass tomorrow from 1 to 4 p.m. down at Maynard.
Hey, what,
a lot of fun.
What are we going to do to kick off NFL football?
You know, my pick for this Sunday is the Trident Grill on Speedway just east of Campbell. This is great football fare. Wherever your team is, they're going to be on one of the many TVs, and you can sink your teeth into some really good fare while you're there, like the Maryland crab cakes, the Chesapeake Bay burger, even their killer chicken wings. Now, quick warning, Trident is Tucson's official Washington Redskins headquarters, so think twice if you planned on wearing that Dallas Cowboys jersey. Get to Trident and have some great football food this Sunday.
And quickly, in the column this week.
Yeah, the science and sophistication of craft brewing has changed so much. And I sat down with a judge of a local beer competition to get his take on how to sip and score a glass of suds. It's a lot of fun. It's in this week's edition of ITV.
Good weekend to you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of the entire team here at KVOI and Good News Communications, including Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, and everybody here, including the owners Doug and Mary Martin, please have a great weekend. Also want to say a big shout out to my website manager, Rosemary Brandt. Have a wonderful and a safe weekend. Back with you 12:04 Monday afternoon.